Wednesday, September 21st. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, Michael Youssef recently had an interview with the Christian Post. He, of course, is the best-selling author and cultural anthropologist. He's also the pastor of the Acts of the Apostles Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Youssef said in this interview, "I'm not an end-time preacher. However, popular TV shows like Lucifer and Little Demon underscore a common theme of acceptance and humanization of the biblical Antichrist figure referenced in the book of Revelation." Youssef called such programming content an example of how secular media plays a major role in practicing a form of indoctrination when it comes to truth-telling. So many so-called journalists are saying that objectivity is passé among journalists and broadcasters, and there ought to be no objectivity. So, they're already sanctifying and praising subjectivity, so when the Antichrist comes, they're going to be ready. Harry, interestingly, this program Little Demon, a Disney-owned animated program, features a woman who is impregnated by Satan and gives birth to an Antichrist daughter. The show contains nudity, violence, and witchcraft. Harry, the very fact that this is an animated program makes you suspect who is the target audience.
Well, we know who it is. It's clearly directed at children, but it's given in such a way that it will fascinate adults as well. Man, we're a long way away from Mickey and Minnie Mouse and Donald Duck, that's for sure. I think he is absolutely on target. What he does is point out how we are getting near the end times. And what he means, "I'm not an end time preacher," means every sermon isn't why Jesus is coming back tomorrow. But what he is saying is you can't miss this. When you come to what we call the Olivet Discourse of Jesus, he points out all the temples and he says they're all going to be destroyed. And what he is speaking of is what starts the clock ticking toward the second coming of Christ in the minds of those who have come to Christ as Lord and Savior and follow Christ because He is their Master and King and He is the God of glory. And that is the destruction of the temple and the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And the clock begins to tick. And then Jesus says in this Olivet Discourse, and Michael Youssef brings it out, is the birth pangs, wars, catastrophic occurrences, famines, all kinds of things that are happening in society. Now, those things have always happened ever since sin's curse was placed upon the creation. But when Jesus characterizes them as birth pangs, what he is saying is, as the time of his coming approaches, like the birth of a child, these are birth pangs. They're going to increase with intensity and regularity. And then the third thing that he points out is that the gospel is going to be preached to all the nations. What Michael Youssef is pointing out is the gospel is reaching to all the nations. Even as we see the decline of the gospel of the kingdom in the West, specifically in America, we're seeing its expansion to all the nations of the world. The movement of the gospel in South America and Africa, and Michael Youssef brings this out because of his ministry. As many know, he's Egyptian, and he has had a significant ministry throughout the Middle East in general and into Islamic-dominated nations. There is a powerful movement. I mean, thousands are coming to Christ. It's astonishing. We're seeing what's happening in Ukraine right now. The churches are packed and overflowing in Ukraine at this very moment. And those are the type of events that are occurring with greater regularity throughout the world, along with climatic occurrences, along with catastrophes, etc., as the birth pangs increase. Yet you see the expansion of the kingdom at the same time. And then the last thing he points out is that there will be what is referred to as the removal of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the one who restrains will be removed, and so that even though the prevailing church will be there will also be an undermining apostasy within the church. And he points to the fact that the educational systems and journalism teach that there is no such thing as authoritative objective truth. There's only your truth and my truth, subjective truth or relative truth. You see it in the words of Pontius Pilate. What is truth? And what Pilate is saying, truth is whatever I say it is. I'm referring to the power of the state in that context. And so that's what he is pointing out that is happening. And there was a survey recently that gives him his documentation where evangelical pastors, almost 40%, say that you're saved by works and not by the grace of the Lord Jesus. And then there are other ways to salvation, and that if you do good, that you can be saved whether you've put your trust in Christ or not. And that, as he points out, is the doctrine of demons. It is apostasy. It is standing apart from the truth. And so you see the apostasy within the church. You see the expansion of the kingdom, yet by God's grace moving to all the nations. You see the birth pangs intensifying. And what he is pointing out is we are coming closer and closer to the coming of Christ, as all of these things that were affirmed by Jesus in Matthew 24, we see fulfilling right before our very eyes.
Harry, he also refers to John 14:6 and the falling away of Christians. And he says, Jesus is not talking about the world falling away because the world doesn't know him. This is the falling away of Christians, people who claimed to be believers.
What he is affirming, Tom, is that Jesus is abundantly clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through me. Yet in professing evangelical pulpits, we have pastors proclaiming, no, there's other ways to get to Jesus, not according to Jesus. Well, that apostasy is another marker that we are moving toward the coming of Christ. When the church, which is the pillar and support of the truth, when the church begins to abandon the truth and preach what is false and ungodly. Now, what should we do? If we know Jesus is coming tomorrow, or if we know that Jesus is coming 100 years from now, what we do today should not change. We speak the truth in love. We evangelize the lost. We encourage one another. We equip the saints. And we give glory to God in life and in gathered worship. I am grateful for technology that allows us to quote-unquote live stream worship, to shut-ins, to places where preachers aren't yet in place, for gatherings of people. I'm grateful for all of that. But that has interestingly become something that I believe is an abomination. And that is the forsaking of ourselves together, as is becoming the habit of some. Well, I'll dial in and get that part of the service that I want. I'll dial in. It's a lot more convenient. I don't even have to get out of my pajamas. Listen, that is not worship. That is actually an evidence of apostasy. It is not the evidence of affection for Christ. Jesus gave us his word to read it, confess it, preach it, and to come together around that word in the power of the Spirit into a living relationship with him. The word of God is a word declaring the love of God for sinners, whereby he draws us into a relationship with him and each other, a covenant community, a people who are gathered to him, around him, and with one another. And the pinnacle moment is Lord's Day worship. That's the pinnacle moment. And if that is lost, then you will certainly see an apostate church that has lost its saltiness and is worthy of nothing except to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. But I also believe at this very moment there's a resurgence of the love of truth. Even in the evangelical church, it's a minority. And for those pastors and leaders and elders that are standing for the truth, no matter what adversity, no matter what pushback, no matter what the cost, stay the course. You are doing the most important thing in life, and that is exalting God through his church that is here to bring the gospel to all the world and bring God's people together to praise God from whom all blessings flow.
As we close out for today, let me remind you a new feature is coming to Today in Perspective. We're entitling it Ask the Pastor. On coming Fridays, we're going to be addressing questions from you. Questions related to the issues of life, specifically questions related to what do the scriptures mean as they speak to the issues of life. Send your questions to askthepastor@briarwood.org. We're looking forward to hearing from you. As Harry said on Monday, we have numerous people texting, emailing, calling with their questions. Here's a conduit in which everyone can send their questions to Harry, askthepastor@briarwood.org. We look forward to this feature starting up soon. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.